Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." He said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The Gospel of the Lord. We continue today in our second day of the three-week focus on the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem after the exile, and how that is meant to be an analogy for the resurrection of Jesus, for our participation in his passion, death, and resurrection, building our entire life on him and becoming, with his presence inside, a temple. Today we see how much work goes into that. Now the Lord always blesses us in the very work. All the Jews, when they were in Babylon, wanted to do was to be able to go back to Jerusalem and have the freedom to rebuild the temple. King Cyrus and King Darius after him gave them the permission to return, gave others the command to help them. But they were eager to do it. They were doing it with their own money, just like the people built this church of St. Andrew, not with the help from others, but sacrificing because it was worth it. They were doing it out of love. But as a sign of God's incredible generosity, Darius executes a decree to say, "We'll pay you back for all your expenses." Yes, they were sacrificing, but God was blessing them far more than their sacrifices. It was there that they would go up rejoicing. How excited they were to have that temple rebuilt. They had taken it for granted prior to the exile. It had become a den of thieves. It had become a neglected place. That was not to occur again. And it was through that deprivation of 7 decades that when they returned, they would always go up rejoicing. It's a sign for us of the way that we're always supposed to approach God in his holy temple. Sometimes, yes, we have to drag ourselves out of bed. Yes, sometimes there are multiple challenges placed in our way. But the proper preparation for prayer, the proper preparation for the Mass, is to go rejoicing. Because when we recognize what we're about to hear, when we grasp whom we're about to receive, how can we respond with anything short? I think the climax of these 3 weeks will happen next Thursday when we get Nehemiah 8, when after all this rebuilding has begun, they find the scrolls that had been hidden, and out they bring them and they read them from the beginning of the day, as soon as the sun was coming on up, until noon, and everybody was weeping at hearing the word of God. Today in the Gospel, we see Jesus' construction plans for the building of his church and the building of each of us on him. When everybody says that Mary and his cousins were outside hoping to see him, that's when Jesus used it as a teaching moment, precisely to describe the type of family he had come from heaven to earth to build, and the way that it would be built. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said that the wise, the prudent virgins, we could say, epitomized by Mary, are the ones who hear his word of God and act on it, build on it. That's what's able to be sustained during the storms. And here, rather than deflecting attention from his keeping the fourth commandment, for example, as some might accuse. Jesus was praising his mother and getting to the real heart of her beatitude. As the ancient Christian art shows, Mary conceived the word of God within her through her ear. You see the ancient icons with the Holy Spirit entering into Mary through her ear. St. Athanasius said she conceived in her heart before she had conceived in her womb. Her entire existence was hanging on the Word of God so that that Word could become flesh. She is the paragon of those who hear the Word of God and do it. That's why she is the mother of the Church, because she precisely mothers us into this new spiritual edifice built of living stone. Christ wants that to extend to a whole family. And the real glue in the family of God is the Word of God that takes on flesh. Not an idle word that is not acted on, but a word that is received as a word to be done. As mentioned many times before, the Hebrew word to listen is also the word to obey. Because for a faithful Jew, to hear the word of God and ignore it was the silliest thing imaginable. They would hear the word of God as a word to be done. Mary shows us how to do that. And when a family builds itself on the word of God, there's no greater glue. Father Patrick Peyton's famous phrase, "The family that prays together stays together," is all the more true with the family that prays with the help of the Word of God together. I've been challenging for several years all the couples I prepare for marriage to read the Word of God together. It's always a joy when they take me up on the offer. I explain to them over the course of their engagement, if they spent 12 to 15 minutes a day, they'd read the entire Word of God. Some read it much faster than that. But it's a great way for them to be able to give to each other the greatest gift of all, which is not a ring or a last name, but the gift of God. To be able to make the Word of God the way that they would speak to each other. And you're able to see their faith come far more alive when this becomes a common good. Likewise, there are many new movements in the Church that have taken the Word of God way more seriously than in the past. I don't know if you've had a chance to get to know many of the members of the Neo-Catechumenal Way. Frankly, I think some of the ways that they approach the celebration of the liturgy, based on one of their three founders, Carmen's liturgical theology, is a little wacko. Let's get that out of the way first. But the way they pray through the Word of God makes their vocation as solid as granite. Every Wednesday night, they're doing scrutinies for which they've spent Tuesday preparing. And they go through sacred scripture, really pondering the significance between old and new. And it really makes their vocations incredibly solid. It makes them all precociously wise. Because by the time they ascend to the altar, they have been really hearing the Word of God as a word to be done. Some cases for decades. What an incredible preparation, which leads them to go up to the altar of God with joy. Today, as we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Mercy, we can look at the way that she was able to grow into this vocation precisely because of her pondering the Word of God. She looked at the entirety of the Old Testament. She saw God's merciful love on every page. And that's why, after she had received the Annunciation, when that word had become flesh in her, when she had received that message of Gabriel with faith, she went out to share the mercy she had received. And when finally her contemplative heart exploded, when Elizabeth recognized the one she was carrying within, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In her Magnificat. It's all a hymn of mercy in which she praises the Almighty for mercifully looking on her in her lowliness, that His mercy endures from generation to generation to those who hold Him in awe. And she seeks constantly to help us have that same confidence in the Lord's words of mercy. He who has come and whose great desire is mercy, not sacrifice. As we prepare in Holy Communion to receive her Son, mercy incarnate, let us ask her prayers that we might open ourselves more and more to the mercy of her Son, shown in every word that comes from His mouth. Thank you.